Life support is nominal. The oxygen danger indicator level is yellow. Please remember that this is a non-smoking pirate ship.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to GameIndustry.com's The Gin Lounge. I'm John Breeden, your host for this episode of the show, and the first to wish you Happy New Year. Only halfway through the month. Anyway, Happy New Year. So today we are going to be talking about, obviously, new games that are coming out that we are looking forward to. 2014 was an interesting year. We had some decent games come out. I don't think anybody would have qualified 2014 as a watershed year where we just were overloaded with amazing games like every five seconds. But there were some decent ones. So joining me today is, we've got a full crew in the lounge today. We have Michael Blaker, our top blogger, and Destiny expert. Michael, welcome today.
I'm not an expert, but I play it a lot, so I guess that counts me as a fanatic. Maybe?
Maybe a Destiny fanatic, yes. Well, when you stand beside me in the game, you are an expert, comparatively. Billy White, welcome to the lounge today, also joining us.
Glad to be here.
And Billy just wrote an interesting editorial about his huge, huge back catalog of games, going all the way back to the PlayStation 2 that he's going to be actually, I think you had one on there that was from the PS1, but you didn't know how you were going to play
it. I have several PS1 ones, yeah. And, gosh, I can mostly thank PlayStation Network and the whole PS1 Classics for being able to play most of those.
That's cool. That is cool. That's neat. So we don't have to have. I have a PS4, a PS3, and a PS2 hooked up to my TV currently. So that's as far back as I go. I'm out of inputs anyway. So I couldn't hook anything else up. It's like from the Christmas Story, a dangerously overloaded octopus connection, but it's like all the things that are in my TV, so pretty cool. Joining us also is Shella. Shella is, I guess, Shella, you would be considered a futurist. You're always looking forward to cool stuff, so welcome to the lounge today.
Thank you. Always good to be here.
Absolutely, and you in particular, you weren't super happy with 20. I know there was some good stuff that came out, mostly a lot of indie things that you were enthralled with, but I mean, I didn't really hear you rave too much about you know, all the triple A titles that came out in 2014.
Yeah,
so
it was a bit lackluster last year, I thought.
It really was.
It was now, in transition, so that's allowed.
It's in some things.
I was gonna ask you guys as my sort of first question, how much of the weird kind of, you know, hit and miss 2014 that we had, do you guys think was because of, basically, I think they jumped the gun getting the new consoles out. I really don't think they should have been out last year.
The year before.
Yeah, exactly. So, what do you think, Michael? I mean, you've got a PS3 and a PS4.
I also have a 360. So I think that the PS4 coming out when it did, and the Xbox One coming out when it did, wasn't a bad thing. Although I think the pricing, scheme for the Xbox One was insane compared to the PS4. But the games that came out last year, like Watch Dogs, Assassin's Creed Unity, Destiny, Halo Master Chief Collection, they were all like the big games that we were supposed to be looking forward to, and they all failed in one way or another. Some of them more spectacularly, like Halo Master Chief Collection is still broken matchmaking-wise, which is the entire point of that game, I think, personally. So I don't think it came out too early. I think that developers rushed development on the games for those systems too fast. If they had taken maybe just a couple extra weeks for some of them, I don't know if a couple extra weeks would have fixed the Halo Master Chief Collection, because it's still broken at this time, you know, a couple months later. But, I think it's more of the developer's problem than the console makers at this point.
Well, I suppose that makes sense to, you know, why blame Microsoft and Sony for here's the new awesome hardware, you know, and blame the guys that didn't do too much with it. Billy, what are you thinking? Is that why you think 2014 was kind of weird, or
I do think that they might have rushed their consoles out a little bit, and I don't know. I don't know why exactly they would have, because, you know, there's that, I guess there's that whole thing for, you know, game companies to try to release consoles around the same time, and the Wii U did release a year before, so I don't know if that put pressure on them at all. I don't think it did, because honestly, as much as I love my Wii U, I understand that it's not selling as well as the other two consoles. So, I don't know, I guess maybe it would have to be developers. I mean, I can't really fault Microsoft and Sony for saying we're going to release a console.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess not. Shella, what are you thinking? Is that, I mean, you're the one, you haven't quite jumped yet into a new system,
no,
right?
No, I mean, yeah, I partly agree. Well, I agree with both Billy and Michael. Yeah, I was sort of kind of feeling that maybe they did release the consoles too soon. But the thing is, the consoles are ready. So, you know, can you release them too soon? What are you going to do? Just like sit on technology that's just aging second by second. You're not going to do that. Mm. But it's the fact that the last consoles were still so strong. You know, and we could see that from the fact that hardly any of the AAAs last year were next gen only. You know, they spanned both, which I don't think we've really had to this extent before. Once a new console's come out, you know, they kind of all shift over, and then that drives the consumer. And, you know, but we've had this funny year where we're straddling, and I've really had nothing come out that's made me want to buy the next generation stuff. There's loads of stuff this year, if any of it comes out this year. I hope so, because there's still loads of stuff that's TBA. So
yeah, and we are starting to see next gen only titles. Yeah. I believe in next week Dying Light comes out, the parkour zombie game, which I believe that Neil Sijatovic is going to review for us on the Xbox One platform, and so it'll be interesting to see how you combine parkour running and zombies. It's sort of like an Assassin's Creed with zombies, maybe. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see, but they ended up dropping the PS3 and the Xbox 360 version. And I think that'll be the first of many probably to do that.
I think that's
so.
A smart idea, because if you look at the like Shadows of Mordor was one of the few standout games that everybody's raving about last year, and I haven't played it, but I mean, I've seen people play it, I've watched a few Let's Plays, and it looks amazing. But when you compare it to the PS3 and Xbox 360 versions, there's a huge difference in the computing power of the new consoles. And the
Oh yeah, I mean you see that in Dragon Age Inquisition, which I'm playing on a next gen system. I'm playing on the PS4, and Neil, who I mentioned before, is doing the Dying Light review. He was playing Dragon Age on the Xbox 360, and he's like, "Oh my god, it's like killing my console." You know, it's like you get to some beautiful vista, and it's like, you know, we're talking like 5 seconds of load time. Oof. You know, and trees are popping up in the distance.
That's interesting.
Stuff. It's like an old PC, you know, trying to run a game. You know, it's like so. Wow, you know, and he's like, I'd never seen that before, but yeah, that the console's really breathing heavy, you know, and his hard drive's spinning all the time. so yeah, they're. I think it's getting
time
close to where
to move on.
Cut the cord, yeah. so cool. All right, well, that out of the way. So in general, let's throw it open. So Michael, why don't you start? In 2015, we're just, you know, first month, they're getting started. So what are you looking forward to? What are some things that you think our listeners should also be looking forward to? And I know you had some news from the Microsoft.
So office. Yeah, no. Yesterday, they announced. Today is, what, the 22nd? Yesterday, on the 21st, they announced HoloLens, which is an augmented reality device, or AR device. And it's not virtual reality, where you put a thing on and you see a game. It's where you see the real world, but it's augmented with, like, virtual things. And so, like, one of the demos that they showed off at this event yesterday was, like, a pseudo-Minecraft. It's their version of Minecraft. But where you could, like, you know, tap your, like, a table, and you would, you know, get rid of the blocks on the table, and then you actually see under the table, and it would show you what's under the table. That's really cool. I think the technology in that and the Oculus as it improves, we'll get closer and closer to something like full virtual reality, like The Matrix, or I don't know, if, you know, it's sort of an anime sort of thing, but Sword Art Online, where it's real reality, where we'll see stuff like that, and I'm excited for that.
Well, that sounds pretty cool. And how are they going to present it to the player? Is it, do you have to put
it's,
on,
it's a headset. It's okay. Like a visor, and it has the GPU and the CPU, and everything's on board, unlike the Oculus, where you have to hook it up to a computer. So it's essentially where you I'm assuming you're going to be able to charge it at like a charge station or plug it into a wall and then take it out and like walk around the city. And, you know, it's sort of like Google Glass, except 100 times better.
Yeah, and with stuff that isn't really there. So you can either do that or just go out on a heavy night drinking.
Yeah, well, for those of us who like to stay sober, this is a better alternative.
that sounds pretty wild. So I'm looking forward to that. Seeing how they
I'm just excited that the technology's starting to move along. So
they have a lot of those augmented reality games for tablets and stuff, where like you know you're sitting at the mall and you're at the food court, and then you can have a bunch of like cartoon bugs attack you, and you're shooting them and stuff and things like that. So it'd be interesting to see it, you know, into actual real games, as opposed to, you know, just like zapping things like target practice.
And I think it will be more of these sort of mini games at first, but as the technology grows, I can imagine real games becoming the norm for it. So
how cool would it be if they did something like a you know, something where like if you could play like Mass Effect or something through it, where you're walking through the mall and it turns it into a space station
cool.
for you?
That'd be cool. Although I mean, at the same time, you're walking, you know, you have to determine, okay, well, what are these people in front of me?
Pedestrianized.
Yeah.
Not adding voice commands.
Yeah, that'd be really awkward.
To turn all the people into aliens, you know, put alien heads on them and stuff. That'd be wild. Hey, you know, you never know. All right, Billy, what about you? What are you looking forward to? Something quite that space age or not?
Not quite that space age. I'm in general just looking forward to this year for Nintendo, because they've announced a lot of games that are planned to come out this year, and my gosh, you know, they've got a new Zelda, a new Star Fox, which gosh, Star Fox has needed a game for a long time. Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, of course, comes out next month, and I'm going to lose like another 400 hours of my life to that, and I'm perfectly okay with that.
Don't they have like the new Xenoblade coming out as well for this year, or is that TBD as well?
Yeah. No, I think that's this year, Michael. I think that's right.
I know that Nintendo games are going to be huge this year, with the Zelda Wii U being open world, so... That's something I would look forward to, but if that's the only game I wanted a Wii U, I still won't buy a Wii U for just one game, unfortunately.
I'm interested in Star Fox's, they're doing the whole asymmetrical gaming where you have to look at one screen, will get like the main TV screen will give you like a third-person view of your ship, your R-Wing, and the Wii U gamepad will have like an in-cockpit view, and you can adjust your gun turrets in the cockpit view while flying around on normal, and you have to like look back and forth between the two. It's supposed to be complex but fun once you get the hang of it, and I think that seems really interesting to take advantage of the Wii U gamepad like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool. Hey, Billy, let me ask you about, you mentioned Monster Hunter 4 is one of the things you were really looking forward to. You know, it's odd that, you know, we're gamers. We look forward to losing 400, 800 hours of our lives on these things. But I know you did the review of Monster Hunter 3, and I saw you just wrote an editorial about this huge back catalog that you're playing. You're going all the way back to the PS2 and PS1. But I noticed Monster Hunter 3 was on your back catalog. I'm wondering, what are you looking forward to in 4 that's going to improve upon 3? I mean, the basic gameplay is about the same, right? It's a game where I've never played it, but it's a game where you fight increasingly powerful monsters and level up your character. And does it go on forever, or is there an actual ending?
There is an end. All of the Monster Hunter games usually have like a big final thing. Most of the time in the game, you fight like types of wyverns and stuff like that. But whenever you get to the very end of the game, you're fighting bigger things like elder dragons. And there's always a big final elder dragon, and they're these just monstrous things that take a lot to kill. And that's really the end point of the games. And for the, I guess I should say the big draw of Monster Hunter games isn't that the gameplay changes up a whole lot, even though this one is actually making some changes I'll mention. It's the new monsters. New monsters come in, new armors, new weapons. They have new fighting patterns, new things you have to get used to. Because unlike your typical RPG where you level up and, you know, oh, my stats got better, that's not exactly how Monster Hunter works. It's actually you get better in your skill as a player. And that's how you get better at fighting monsters. You fight these monsters so much that you're like, you see like these slight tells, like, oh, the monster shifted on its left foot. It's about to do a swing with its tail, jump away and stuff. Like, it requires a lot of practice to get used to all the monsters. So it's going to be a whole new learning experience whenever 4 comes out. And they're adding in new weapons in 4, which is kind of a big deal. Monster Hunter doesn't add new weapons very often because they have to be really balanced. But they're adding in these new weapons, and they're adding in the ability to basically, like, jump on top of monsters and, like, kind of wrangle them and start stabbing them and stuff, and it distracts the monsters so that, like, all your friends can get in and start hitting it, and it's more mobile. You can run around and jump more. There's just a lot of new little features added to it that are going to make it – it's going to feel – very similar to the past games, but it's going to be enough of a change that I think it's really going to help open it up to more. I don't want to say casual gamers, but Monster Hunter is a really hardcore game. I mean, like I said, I've sunk 400 hours into just this one, 3 Ultimate. You have to dedicate a lot of time, and I think these changes are going to make it more accessible to other players.
You know, that sounds really cool about how, you know, the player skill goes up, not necessarily your character skill. I can just see, you know, a really good player, like, looking at a monster and being like, oh, that's a type 3 dragon turtle. We need to attack it from the left side, you know?
Yeah, and that's kind of how it is. Cool. I mean, you all go in with plans, and a lot of times I'll be on Skype playing with people. It's like shouting out to each other, you know, crap, I need a heal. Somebody heal. Okay, I'm going to run around this way. I'm going to do this. And, yeah.
I need a lag check, man. So, what about you? Now, 2014. I know you kind of were like, I won't say disgusted, but you were kind of annoyed with the mainline games. So you sort of went all indie in 2014. I mean, a hardcore indie. So is 2015 the same type of thing? Or are you looking forward to some AAA stuff too? In addition to No Man's Sky,
yeah,
of course,
which is indie, so that's okay.
Right.
I'm still wearing my indie t-shirt. Well, lots of the games that I'm looking forward to, I don't know if they're actually coming out this year or not, because there aren't that many release dates as far as I can make out. So what am I suppose the AAA, the closest AAA is The Order 1886, but I'm not actually looking forward to that anymore. I was really looking forward to that when I saw the teaser at E3 or Gamescom or whatever it was, but the more I see of it, the less interested I become. I think they've taken quite a cool setting and a really cool bunch of characters, Arthurian legend type thing, and they've just made it really dull, kind of Call of Duty with epaulets, as far as I can see. It's like, why you need plate mail when you've got a machine gun, I can't quite fathom. So
it helps with your training, you know, if you carry around that heavy weight.
Yeah, some extra weight. Muscles. Hellblade, I'm really looking forward to the Ninja Theory game with the about a girl who goes into the Norse underworld. I mean, like, hooray all over that. But again, I haven't got a release date or even a quarter release on that one, so I don't know. Tangiers is probably like one of my little indie ones that I've been looking forward to, which cites influences such as David Lynch and Franz Kafka and film noir. So it's like, you know, ticks all my boxes, and it's kind of surreal and weird and dark. And it's made by a dev team just up the road from me in Bristol.
And you talking about that and mentioning all that stuff, it made the IQ of all of us go up a few points. Just by, me and Billy are talking about, you could jump on the turtle's back and stab it, and you're like, well, it's very Kafka-like. So, okay. So something for everyone, I guess. What about you, Michael? Are there any standard stuff you're looking forward to? Is Destiny doing anything in 2015?
There was a leak about a half a month ago about their release plan, and there's supposed to be something called a Comet coming out, and I would have called that the expansion, the Comet, because it's adding new areas and new missions and new subclasses, that sort of thing. That's more of an expansion in my mind, or my eyes, than what they've released so far, which is more like a DLC episode pack. But they've got one coming out sometime soonish. I can't imagine it's going to be more than 3 months, or people will get burned out of the game. And so they're doing that. I'm looking forward to that. I want to see what they're going to improve upon, because there are a lot of issues with Destiny that, as the game has gone along, become more and more obvious and more glaring. There have been bugs that have been in the game since beta or alpha that haven't been fixed yet, but they fix exploits. They've been fixing exploits like crazy, but they haven't fixed these bugs that have been there since beta or alpha.
Well, and some of the exploits, the only reason the players are doing the exploits is because the bugs exist in the first place. They get frustrated.
The exploits are doing that, and some of it's because the way the loot is given out is so random. RNG is what they call it, and there's even a joke, like God, deity, they call RNG Jesus in the community, and it's really harsh. Because someone who does, like, nothing, they can just sit in a standard, team deathmatch, and they can just sit in a corner and do nothing, and they'll get one of the best guns in the game, compared to the person who, rocks that game, and they get nothing.
Well, as the person who sits in the corner, I don't mind that particular one.
Well, the rest of us do.
I don't sit in the corner. I just get killed a lot. It is kind of nice. They give these consolation prizes, I guess. They're like, you're the suckiest player, so here's a really good gun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, for me personally, I've been trying to get.
You need help.
Yeah. It doesn't help.
It helps not at all. It's a certain piece of loot I've been trying to get since the game has been released, and my friends, certain friends, like one of them, got three of the same gun. Within a week, three times. I try every chance. They can't gift it to me. Because there's no trading.
Yeah, you can't
trade.
So
I'm hoping there's a trading system that's implemented.
I think that's another problem. They can't trade. I mean, you get gear for, like I'm a Titan. And I get gear that, legendary gear that only a Warlock can use. And I'm like, well, what the F am I going to do with this thing? I just trash it. I can't give it to anybody. Yeah. Can't sell it or whatever.
You could give it to yourself and that you can make it a Warlock, which is nice.
Oh, and then I could level up a Warlock to level 30. That would be awesome. Yeah.
I mean, for someone who doesn't play as much as you, that's not an option. But in the end game, in the high-end play, you actually have to have two or three characters of the same class to get the loot, because it's so random to actually play in the high-end stuff, which is really unforgiving. And I actually published an article just a couple of days ago about player-unfriendly decisions, about how the developers are choosing to push their ideas onto the player, and it's not necessarily in the player's best interest.
Yeah, we've seen that a few times in the past. I mean, the whole thing about developers kind of pushing their ideas on people. I mean, there was the whole thing. I mean, I don't want to get Shella fired up again, but there's the whole Mass Effect thing where it's like, the ending was terrible, and then the developers were like, well, that's the story we wanted to tell, and so you have to respect our storytelling abilities. And like, no, your storytelling abilities were horrible.
They were horrible at the last 5 minutes, which is like the huge culmination of three games. And I got burned by that. And I was like, and even though they had the extended ending, I never downloaded it. I never watched it. I just felt burned. It was...
Well, the extended ending was like slightly better than the one ending, but not that much. I mean, it forced as many questions as it did answer them. Sorry about that. But no, that makes sense, Michael. I mean, it's interesting to see that we could be looking forward to just improvements in existing games, at least in some cases. So Billy, what about you? I know you talked about the Wii stuff and Monster Hunter. What else are you looking forward to in anything earth-shattering?
Earth-shattering. Oh, probably not. I mean, I am looking forward to picking up a new 3DS when it comes out. I'm a little disappointed that they're only releasing the XL versions in America. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of the XLs. If I want a mobile, like a portable console, I want to be able to carry it around with me, not have this big, huge, hulking thing in my pocket. You know, I wear cargo pants, so I can even get away with it. But you know, I still don't want to have to do it. But at that end,
don't they come with a free backpack at least or something?
Oh yeah, right. Free backpack. Free. You know, it'll be one of those little like belt like packs you see everyone walking around with Disney World on and everything. And it's like I don't.
Yeah.
I don't want to. So, I mean, I am excited for the new 3DS. I think it looks cool. I like the addition of the second analog stick and what is it, Xenoblade Chronicles that was released on the Wii is getting re-released on it, and I never got a chance to play that, so yay, another game to add to my list.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I mean, I don't know what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to sort of types, like, I mean, I Bethesda, I'm wondering if Bethesda is actually working on any type of new role-playing game.
Sort of.
You know?
They're releasing Elder Scrolls onto the consoles. They announced that. It's like in June, I think.
Right, but that's the
MMO,
MMO, right?
Yeah. So,
right.
And take that as you will. I personally think it was a flop. Some people think it was great.
I think we'll see a new Fallout announced this year.
I hope so. I hope to see something like that. I need a game where I can get lost in. Surprisingly for me, Dragon Age turned out to be that way. I didn't think it would be possible, but there is so much freaking content in Dragon Age. I mean, it's ridiculous. Every single, like, little land that you visit is like an actual, like, could be almost like its own game. And, you know, it's pretty crazy. But at the same time, it's not like, you know, I don't feel like going to a tavern and sitting and drinking a mead with the NPCs like I do in like an Oblivion or a Skyrim or something like that. So I don't know. It'd be cool. And I love the Fallout series. I mean, I know Shell is not big on it because she thinks she doesn't like the gray and brown palettes, I think. but I love the Fallout stuff. I mean, there's for me, the pinnacle of like that type of gaming is like, you know, walking down a dusty road and you see an abandoned gas station in the distance and you're just my loot, the back of my hair on my neck stands up and I'm like, what kind of loot will be in that old gas station, you know? Yeah. Will I find a 200-year-old candy bar or what?
Yeah. No, like I've played Fallout games and Skyrim and stuff like that, and I actually get creeped out. Like when I was younger, I played Morrowind, which also crashed my Xbox, the original Xbox, like quite a bit.
Morrowind
it was
a great
game. I loved that game, but you had to save like every 3 minutes or you risked losing whatever you were doing to a crash that was inevitable. And so with those games, I always got creeped out by like the creepy monsters, like the giant scorpions or something like that. They always freaked me out. So like when I was playing Fallout New Vegas, my brother had gotten it for his birthday or something like that. So I took it for a spin. I'm walking down the road and I get mauled by these like three different like death scorpions or something like that. I was like, what the heck?
there's a reviewer here, Vincent Mahoney. He is so afraid of spiders. I mean, he's like deathly afraid of spiders that he had to get a mod for Skyrim, and it replaces all the spiders in the game with bears.
Oh, nice!
So
I saw that mod. Now, I was interested in it, but I didn't have a PC that could play it at the time. I was like, damn! So I got over the spider fear somewhat quickly.
So there's all these webs and stuff, but like bears come down out of the ceiling and attack him, which he can handle. Which, you know, God love PC gaming. You can change crap around, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of,
my gosh.
This is kind of nice. Yeah, the modding is pretty cool. Sometimes, in some cases, the modding. I mean, you know, obviously a lot of times the modding is against really good games, but sometimes the modding is actually better. You know, sometimes I play mods and I'm like, my God, the developers need to hire these people because the mods are amazing.
An amazing Fallout 3 mod the other day. It's called like the Sydney Follower mod, I think, and it allows you, it takes the character Sydney, which was like this minor character, and allows her to become a follower. And the person that made the mod went out and found the voice actress for her. and got her to record like all new lines and everything. So it's like a whole entire additional expansion to the game.
Holy crap. I got one. I still play Fallout 3. And Shella, hide your ears, because I know I'm playing with all the brown and gray textures. But I still play Fallout 3. And I got a mod that takes Clover. Remember, Clover was like, you couldn't get her as a follower unless you were evil. So I got a mod that made it so you could have any karma level and she still would go with you. And then it also changed her around, you know, gave her new outfits and stuff. You could take her slave collar off. And I'm having a lot of fun adventuring with Clover. It's kind of like almost like a different game. So yeah, the modding that people do is pretty amazing. So Shella, what about you? You get the final bite at the apple. What else should people be looking forward to in 2015?
Well, I think there's a little bit of a trend at the moment, that looks like it was started with the vanishing of Ethan Carter. Well, that's where I think that's what I played that made me aware of it. That there's a bit of a sort of ghost and a sort of American Gothic kind of feel to some of the indie games, as opposed to all out horror, mm-hmm. which I really like because there's a subtlety to it. So games like Everyone's Going to the Rapture or Everyone's Gone to the Rapture, and then
I'm looking forward to that one looks,
it does,
really cool.
And it's got the same kind of atmosphere as The Vanishing, and then Life is Strange, which is coming out next Friday. What else is in that kind of, oh, there's Inside, which is from the team that did Limbo, Play Dead. That's coming out at the end of March on Xbox One. And that's, again, got a sort of kind of creepy twist as opposed to all out horror, which, so I'm looking forward to some stuff like that, which is a bit more subtle.
I'm actually playing one now that's, you know, on Steam on early release in alpha that I think might fall into that category, called The Long Dark. Where there's been this weird magnetic pole shift and basically the world freezes over and you are on your own in the Canadian wilderness and you basically hike around and try to find little like hunting cabins and fishing villages and stuff where you can like find food and, you know, you like gut deer and things like that and basically try to survive. You get a trophy if you survive for like five days, you know, that type of thing. And I've yet to get it. I either fall through the ice or get eaten by wolves or freeze to death. That's a big one. Freezing to death is fun. So, but yeah, it's kind of that creepy, and I kind of get, we were talking about sort of that Fallout feeling where you see that, where you see that abandoned gas station in the distance. And for this game, it's even heightened because you're like, oh my God, not only might I find a candy bar to stave off my hunger, but I can actually, you know, thaw my fingers out a little bit because I've been walking around in a blizzard for a half hour.
The little joys in a game. And I thought the Order was going to be more along those lines, more fool me.
Right. Yeah, they did kind of. I mean, I don't know, but it looks like they're turning the Order into more of like a traditional shooter that just happens to be set in a cool setting.
Let's not forget the plate mail.
The plate mail. Yeah, no, maybe the plate mail's magical.
Maybe.
Something. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you all for joining us today. Really appreciate you all for the first show of 2015. This was really good, and I'm looking forward to the new year. I hope you guys are
definitely
too. For all our listeners out there, you can join us right here at GameIndustry.com. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/GameIndustry. You can find us on Google+, which I believe we're also under Game Industry now. You can find us on Pinterest, and our Twitter handle is at Gin Lounge. So there's all the different places you can find us. You can also find us individually online a lot of times playing our favorite games and looking forward to 2015. So cool. Let's hope that 2015 is everything that we hope it is. And for all you listeners out there, let's hope that you all get everything that you want. And once again, a belated but sincere Happy New Year,
everyone.
Happy New Year, everybody.